Cincinnati, my state. It's an honor to be here, and anytime my God uses me in this way, I feel really privileged. Is I wasn't going to come down here this year. I've been coming down here every year for the last, well, this will be my seventh year down here. And last year I said, I'm getting a little tired of Ocean City. And I was going to go down to Florida. I was thinking about going down to Florida. They have a nice convention down there. And then they asked me to do this, and I try to go where I'm asked to go. And I guess my God had other plans for me. She really helped me out when I come up here. She told me my zipper was down. I was really happy about that, but I did wonder what she was doing looking down there in the first place. Yeah, thanks. All right. That really is how this program works. We help each other out in those ways. I am from the tri-state region. If I make it August 17th of this year, I'll be claiming 16 years in the program in Arkansas. I like to pride myself, and I don't mean to be offensive to anybody, but I have a 100% pure Narcotics Anonymous program. I got an NA sponsor that's 20 years. He lives a couple miles from me. His sponsor has 24 years. He brought the fellowship into the tri-state region. And I like to feel we have strong recovery up that way. If you're around in the fall and we have a great convention up there, Start to Live, it's been running for a few years. I think this is our 15th or 16th. Well, I went to the first one, so this is the 16th, right? So come on up for some Pittsburgh recovery, Tri-State Region recovery. I really, I cannot help when I'm asked to speak somewhere, I cannot help thinking about what I'm going to say before I get up there. I really don't like to do that. I don't. I like to have it all planned out, and I do pray real hard that my higher power takes over. And I know he always does, and I forget all that other stuff anyways. And that's what happened today. They asked me to come and talk about parenting here today. I didn't even know how they knew I was a parent down here. I was thinking my children called down here or something. So it was like my kid called down here, Dad, you need to go down there and talk about it. I'm no way the perfect parent. As a matter of fact, you ever see one of those memo pads that you keep on your desk? It says things to remember. Coming out of my frame of reference and the way I was parented, I need one of those things that say things to forget. Right? And I got to try to be different with my children, and it's OJT. It really is on-the-job training, right? Thank God I'm in this fellowship. I do. When my first child was born, he'll be 8 in August. I've been married going on 10 years, so that happened the right way. My sponsor always says, your first child can come any time after you're married, then they come every 9 months. Right? He has 4 children. And so he is my sponsor in parenting also. And when my first child was born, is my wife, she's also in the fellowship. My wife's sponsor delivered my child, and I thought that was an awesome experience to be there. It was a recovery birth. We were all in there praying together. It was really nice. My son has been to so many of these spiritual retreats, so many of these conventions. I have NA people in and out of my house all day long, and in a sense, my kids are being raised by people in his fellowship, and it's awesome. Is I take them to meetings, and you know I worry like everybody else that they're going to be disruptive in the meetings, I do what I need to do to stay clean, to maintain those principles so I can raise my children. You know, when I had about 3 months clean, I was at an NA meeting, and there was some guy who came in there. He was about 22 years old. And he sat down in the meeting, and I had never seen him before. It was obvious that he was a newcomer, too. And it was a text discussion meeting, and we had read it, and when we got done reading, it went around the room, and it came to him. And he, you know, he shared his name, said he was an addict, and he said, y'all don't really know me in here. You don't know me. I've been coming here a few meetings. He said, but you all know my father. He says, he's N.A. famous. You know, when he's one of these guys, when you walk in the room, everybody knows him and loves him. He said, you all like my father. And he started to cry. And he said, and I always remember this, and this was something that always stuck with me, and I pray that it stays with me. He says, I know y'all think my father's great, but one thing you didn't know about my father, he says, he never brought any NA recovery home with him. And he gave it up on his father in that meeting. Right? And that was impactful for me, is that he helped me, is that one thing that I don't want to do. I can be the best NA addict for that hour when I'm in the meeting. I can be like his dad. And in our 12th step, it says the proof of these steps is in the way we live them. And not just in the rooms, but outside the rooms. I was raised under the rage of an alcoholic household. And I know that that's not the way to do it. And I don't want to sound like I'm blaming my parents. They did the best they did with what they had. They weren't free. They weren't offered the promise of freedom through recovery. They didn't have what we have. I'm free to raise my children the way that I believe is right for them. And it's not an easy job. We're not raising farm animals here. No? These are lives. And the truth of the matter is most of what I learned about parenting is I learned in here. I know that if I can give my children as much as I can give my sponsees, they're going to be doing good, right? Now, how would it be if every single time I come in my house, I hug my children, right? And I try to do that. Y'all may have seen the movie Forrest Gump. I have a Forrest Gump philosophy. You know, I try to live the Forrest Gump philosophy. Stupid is as stupid does. Right? You know, I get a lot out of the dumbest things, I'll tell you. Is the way I interpret that for myself is I am how I act and what I do. So if I want to be a good father, I got to act like a good father. I got to tell my children they're good, they're great, they're special, I love them, hug them, kiss them, spend time with them. And it's not easy. My children are here with me. Man, you want to pull your hair out if they're not doing it, spending 8 hours in a minivan coming from Pittsburgh to Ocean City. right? Is, you know, I want his seat. Let me have his seat. That, you know? It's not an easy job. And that's the same with being a husband. You know, I'm like many people in the room. I'm a risk taker. And I ride motorcycles. But I don't like riding motorcycles like these motorcycles out here. I ride a different kind of motorcycle. I don't want to offend anybody, but I ride BMW motorcycles. I'm an addict that wants to be different. I like getting on that motorcycle and riding it as fast as I can. And as fast as I can. And that's exemplary. That symbolizes how sometimes I live my life. And I got to come here to realize that, you know, I really have a good today. I don't want to screw around with my family. See, I'm not only married to my wife, but I'm married to my children. You understand what I'm saying? I'm married and connected to my children. And it's a relationship. It's a developing relationship. I got responsibilities. You know, my children don't have this. They do, but they don't. Not the way I have it. And for the first time in my life, when I come here, I develop a spiritual program. It's my responsibility as a parent to look out for the spiritual well-being of my children now. Right? I got to give them that. I don't want them to be deficient in that. And that's not an easy job. It isn't. It's very difficult sometimes. I took my children to, without my wife, here. There's a culture, a psychological culture in this country that's, I think sometimes it makes it hard to parent. And there's a mistrust, especially around fathers, I'm going to tell you. Fathers and children. Maybe I'm biased and maybe that's my experience, but I took my children up to Niagara Falls last weekend to spend time with them. And my wife didn't go. My wife's a nurse, so she works, she was working that weekend, and I took them up there. And I had never been to Canada. I had never crossed the border, so I got up there, and I got to the gate, up to the border, and the woman says, "Who's in that car with you?" And I said, "My two children." She says, "You have papers on those children, like they were dogs or something." I said, like, who carries papers on their children, right? She says, "Nah, you're not coming in this country with those children." She filled out a paper. She said, "We're sending you to immigration." And so I went in there, and, you know, I had to deal with, it was a rather humiliating experience for me. What they did, they thought I was abducting my children. And, for a minute there, I thought, after that ride, too, I thought about letting them keep those children. If anything, I'd have been taking those children up there to drop them off and get back. But they were asking me questions like, you know, "Where's your wife at?" And with, like, and, "Are you married?" And then when they were asking my son, "Is he really your dad?" And I was looking at him, and he, you know, I seen that look at the in his eyes. This is my opportunity. You know, I really do live the program. Is before I go any further, there's a couple people that came to support me here today, and I really appreciate that. And come to a place like this where you don't know a lot of people, it feels good to have that support in the room. Okay. Even though I know everybody here is my family. All right? And sometimes being who I am, I don't always believe that or feel that. And it's I've learned over the years it's my responsibility to say, hey, I'm Steve, I'm an addict, and I feel this. And usually I'm engulfed with the love, and that's important to me. But, you know, what I try to do is I try to live the program. I try to bring these principles in my home. I'm an adult. I'm no little kid. What I feel is I have a responsibility to the fellowship. I'm a 43-year-old man. I'm not an adolescent anymore. And with that comes Narcotics Anonymous gave me that. I'm an adult. And it gave me responsibilities along with that. I can't run around acting out on those inappropriate desires. Because I'm not just putting myself at risk. There's other people who count on me today. They're gifts. The people in my life that are their gifts, and I've always believed this, is that, you know, if I'm given responsibilities, and if I'm not attentive to those responsibilities, then they'll be removed. They'll be removed. Or at minimum, it won't work well for me. If I don't take care of those children and give them what they need now, I know it will come back on me. I think, right? Right. I'm real thankful that I didn't have any children before recovery. I don't know how that happened anyway. I've got to tell you. Because I know there should have been. And who knows, there might be, but I've never heard about it. But I have to be attentive to those children. If I'm not, it's going to come back on me, or they're going to be removed. Just like the people I sponsor. If I'm not attentive to their needs, what's going to happen? They're going to get another sponsor, right? Sometimes that happens, and we have no control over it. But with our children, It's a responsibility for me that I want to keep. It's a gift, and it's an honor. Thank you for letting me have the opportunity to speak here today.
Hi, family. I'm Cheryl and Annie.
Hey, Cheryl.
And I'm not a parent, but that was pretty cool, Steve. I'm a non-eligible person. No. For our second speaker, we'll have Janice from D.C. I'm an addict. My name is Janice. And I'm real glad I am. If I hadn't been introduced to this program, I don't know where I'd be. And if I get a little emotional on y'all, it's okay. Bear with me. Right after about 11:30, I got really tense, right, and my throat got real sore, and I was like, go to my car and get me some Vicks. But after listening to Steve, it helped me calm a little. I was a parent when I got clean, but not a healthy one. And It wasn't easy. I had to pack up my children and drop them off to one of my best friends and do something about my life. And that was the hardest thing I ever had to do. I have three daughters. And since I've been here, I've gained a fourth one, a stepdaughter who's 17. I'm going to get back to that. I got clean and I stayed away from my kids for close to 2 years. I went to detox, I went to treatment, I stayed in a recovery home, and it wasn't easy. Although I was really grateful to have my freedom, excuse me, so I thought. Every time my daughters would visit, they would drive me crazy. I mean, they bickered a lot, and they were just a lot of work. See, when I was using, they were on their own. You know, we just lived in the same home. And I never cared for them. But it was one of those days before I got clean, well, a few months, that my parents came to visit me. And she said, if you don't get your act together, I'm going to take those girls. And every time I used, I could hear that. It was my youngest daughter's second birthday that I had told my husband that, look, I'm checking in. And that birthday came. And when it came, I made a phone call, and I did just that. But boy, not knowing what to expect. You know, I see when I got here, I didn't know I had to change. You know, I just thought I was somebody who just used all the time. I didn't know I had all this funky behavior. And the more I stayed clean, I started to see myself and didn't like what I saw. Like I said, it wasn't easy being away from your kids and them asking all the questions that they ask. And first they lived with my best friend, then they lived with a sister, and then they were back with their dad. And but y'all told me I had to get honest in here. One thing I do remember very clearly, is that I went into treatment with a lot of guilt. Because I was raised with two parents, and I thought that every child was supposed to have that. And then if they only had one, that they had to be supportive of those children. And I just wasn't that person. And months, I went through a lot of pain. A good friend of mine who's in this room today, who's always stood behind me, told me one day to get on my knees and ask God for my forgiveness. It didn't work the first time. It didn't work the second time. But a little while thereafter, I got some relief. I had to remember that I had a disease and that my behavior and my doing and the way I treated my kids wasn't my fault. So today I'm a parent in recovery. And it's a whole lot better. Although they still bicker and they still fight and they do all that they do, I love my daughters. Yeah. They give me a lot. They give me the strength to stay in these rooms and to take it one day at a time. When you wake up in the morning, they're there. You know what I mean? On your back, hugging you and kissing you. And when you leave and when you come home, I love that sound when I walk in the door and they go, "Mommy!" Did I do that? It's real good to know that in spite of all you took your kids through in your addiction, that they still love you. But today I'm not doing it alone. I got you guys. I got my high power. And I've got my husband. Funniest thing just touched me, right? I when we met and we first moved in together, the first thing I said to him was, "Oh my God, it's like I'm back at home. He's just like my father." My father was a disciplinarian, and when he told you you were on punishment, you were on a punishment, and you didn't get off. And that's how he is with my daughters. And it hurts because, you know, one thing, I thought when I got here that I hated my father. But today I know that my father loved me. And he just wanted me to be the best that I could be. But I was so rebellious. And I know that's what my kids need. I see them when they're with him. All he has to say is it one time. Because they know that if he has to say it twice, that there are consequences. With mommy, they tried over and over and over. And no, I don't like to spank my children. I don't, because I know that I could hurt them. And I love them too much. I have to really tell myself that, you know, if I need to discipline them and I feel the urge to spank them, that I hit them one time. I don't beat them. I don't want them to ever have to feel my pain. Whatever I'm going through and I take it out on them, I don't want them to feel that. So I do pass the buck and I say, "Wait till your daddy come home." Because I know he's just like my father, and I know, he just has so many of my father's ways, it's unreal, and I know sooner or later they're going to listen. And they get things taken away, and they understand. I've taken my kids to many meetings. I, too, you know how it feels early in recovery when I say, "I don't want to take my kids to meetings. They're destructive. I can't hear, da-da-da-da." But my kids are in recovery, too. My kids were, what? I don't even remember. 1, 3, and 5 when I got here. And they know what it's like to be in the meeting. And when daddy and mommy's behavior is funky, they like, "Would y'all like to go to a meeting?" And it used to offend me. It really did. My 10-year-old was really something. It really used to offend me when she used to ask me, you know, "Mommy, you need a meeting." But as I grow up in here, it's okay that they're aware of my behaviors. I did mention that I gained a stepdaughter since I've been here. And I really have to share on this because it's on my heart. That was difficult. She was 6 years old when I met her father. And I made it really difficult for her to love me. I was using. And she really needed somebody to love her. But all I could see was her taking her father from me. Today I love that little girl. And sometimes I can't tell her. I have to send her cards. And I'm really angry that she's not in my life as much as I like her to be. I want us to be closer. But she loves me too. She calls. And she says, "Hi, Janice. How you doing?" I go, "Good." And we kick the surface stuff. And she goes, "Is Daddy home?" And it hurts. And I talk to my husband about it every other month, probably. And in my eyes, I see that he defends her. But I do understand that she's close to her father. I just want her to be one of mine. But I know it's coming. We started this thing where she would come live with us for a few weeks and then go back to her mom's for a few weeks. And for some reason, every time she came, she never spent her entire 2 weeks with us. So I find it really difficult to try to be a mother or a role model in her life because she always goes back home. And I just really want her to be one of mine too. You know, as close as she is to her father, I want us to have that relationship. But I do. I know she loves me because she's confided in me in some things that I never thought that she would. But it'll get better, I know. I had to let go of that, you know. And I had to do that because I am a parent. And I don't ever want my stepdaughter to think that she's not a part of our family. And if she does, I know she does because of me. That's how I feel. And it's not like I don't know how to reach it, but I'm scared. I'm really scared. I know it's just a matter of picking up the phone, inviting to spend some time with her, and just like I do my own, I have to have individual dates with my children. They're selfish, like their mother. And they all want me at one time. But they've wised up since being in recovery too. They'll say, "Mom, can we just spend a day together, just me and you?" And I have to really be careful not to break those dates. I'll let them break them to make up plans. but I try not to praise them. I've noticed my kids' behaviors just really changed since we've gotten clean. When I got clean, their father and I weren't together. We weren't together. And they were uncontrollable. I mean, they would really test me, and they would test him too. And boy, there's some changed little people. You know what I mean? Just by having two parents that loved them, I think they really just always felt that they weren't loved enough. I really didn't have any understanding about people not having two parents, because that's all I ever knew. And all my friends had two parents, and my father used to tell me the kids need us back together, and every time when I was in that recovery home, I remember the kids saying things. I would ask them, you know, well, Daddy and I are together, you know, who do you want to live with? And one kid would say, I'm living with both of y'all. And I said, but no, you don't understand. We're not living together. And she says, but we will. And I really never thought that would happen. A few years ago, that big snow, we got snowed in together, their father and I visited my children. We all went to an anniversary together, and I went to spend some time with him at his home, and it snowed. And I mean, it snowed. And I remember just calling my sponsor day after day going, what am I going to do? I'm stuck in here, you know, with this person that I thought I hated. And what that did for us is made us clear a lot of stuff. And I'm married to that guy today. I've always known that he was my soulmate. Even when I said I didn't want that relationship anymore, I remember telling a couple people that I know, I said, no matter what, if we don't ever get married, we'll end up as friends. We had a friendship before we had anything. And God worked it out. Now my children are really happy. And that just, it does a lot for me. My children are my strength. Like I said, you know, I wake up in the morning, they're there. I come home at night, they're at the top of the steps just hollering, Mommy. You know, is that you? If I'm rambling, I'm sorry. I'm just lost. I'm just overwhelmed. I'm real blessed to be here. I'm sure I got a lot to share on my children because they're kind of busy. They're a busy little woman. We have all girls. And needless to say, there are a lot of mothers running around in our home. So, yeah, I don't know why it is that I'm just overwhelmed right now. I'm full. I had to really touch bases on my stepdaughter. And I, like Steve, none of this is what I plan to share. I just know that I'm glad to be a clean parent today. I remember early on how I used to have to call my mom and go, Mom, how did you do it? It's six of us. It's like, how do you do it? And she would help me. She just walked through it with me. Okay, well, you got to listen to them. You got to talk to them. You got to love them. You got to hug them. You know, they require a lot of attention. And I'm okay with doing that today. Before, early on in recovery, I could be in a meeting to share with people saying, I'm just looking forward to getting my kids back. But I wasn't. I really wasn't. Because those visits that they gave me, I had no control of my emotions and I just didn't know how to handle them. But now that I'm there with them and like I said, I'm growing up with them, I see that being a parent is just so wonderful. We pick up the phone and they call their grandmothers together. My family has gotten a lot closer. And my kids are a lot happier children. And I'm really, really, really grateful about that. I'm lost. And I just want to say, you know, thanks. And I'll definitely keep coming back. Thank you.
We have actually 20 minutes, so for those parents who are not being parents, if you want to use this time to be honest, you can come up to the podium. If you can share some of your experience, strength, and hope with us, we have 20 minutes.
I'm an addict. My name's Nita. I want to thank God for the gift of life. Program of Narcotics Anonymous. And you people, boy, am I nervous. I'd like to share some things that's going on in my life as far as being a parent. I came in Narcotics Anonymous and I had four children. I had four children when I got here. I had another one since I've been here. And there's some things going on in my life with my children. You know, I'd like to say that I've raised two children and they're off on their own. My oldest daughter's 26 and my oldest son is 20. And I'd like to say I raised them and now they're gone off and I know what to do with the rest of them. But I have a 15-year-old that's doing some wild and crazy stuff. And I want to do what's right by this child. You know, but when I got in Narcotics Anonymous, some of the things that was revealed to me was that if my mother didn't have what it took, she didn't have things to give me, right, then I couldn't expect those things of her. I shouldn't have expected of her, but I did. But in me coming to a level of understanding that if she didn't have what it took, if she didn't have what I needed from her, then she couldn't give it to me. I left home when I was 16 years old, okay? So I don't know what it is and what you do or what a mother does or a parent does with a child after 16. You know, I don't know what to expect from a child 16 because my mother, I wasn't at home with my mother when I was 16. So I don't know a lot of things on what to do with a child past a certain age, you know. And I'm doing everything I can today to try to stay in line with what parenting is all about. My daughter, she wants to hang out. Recently, she had sex in my bed, you know, and it was like, how do you deal with the emotions that come with all of this stuff? How do you deal with it? But I remember when I was like 18 months clean, and my son called me a bee.
Oh boy.
And I was like, God, why is he calling me that name? I ain't never called my mother that. And the spirit talked to me and said, no. Remember when she made you go down the Bel Air Market when it was snow outside? Remember walking away and say, that bee make me sick? I said, but God, I didn't say it to her in her face. And said, but did you say it? Then what you put out there will come back to you, and it don't always come back the same way you put it out. A lot of times it comes back hard. The things that's happening with my daughter, I don't know where and what it's pertaining to in my childhood and growing up that's coming back. But whatever it is, I'm willing to work with it. You know, I usually wait until my children get about 16 and tell them, if you don't live by my rules, you got to go. And my thought has been with this child when I found out she had sex in my bed. My thought was, she's almost 16. God, hurry up. See, because I was ready to send her off too, but then I realized I got three other children under her. Do I continue to do the same pattern? My oldest two had to go when they got 16. Now, do I do the same with her, or do I do something different? And I'm a person who always thought children and welfare checks go together. When I stopped getting a welfare check, my children had no purpose in my life. Now, why do I want children? You know, they were a ways and means of getting money, not putting some out there. And I didn't know what, you know, it's like, I don't share this because I don't want my children. I cherish and release myself from what it does to me and wanting me to get rid of them. That's why I share it. So what I'm sharing now is that I don't always know what to do with my children, but what I do know is that if I continue to come here and I continue to share and release myself from the traps that these feelings hold me into within myself, that I'll get the help that I need and I'll keep coming back. My father was abused. My children, I was abused. My children are not abused. I have broken the chain because God has made that possible. I don't have to hurt my children. When my first husband left me, I almost had a nervous breakdown. I had 13 years clean. And I didn't know he was going to leave. And it wasn't supposed to happen to me because I was clean, damn it. And only good things were supposed to happen to me. And my son knocked the closet door off a hinge, and I was upstairs. I was not eating. I was losing weight, and I was a wreck. And finally, I turned around. I looked at my little boy. He was 6, and I started to scream at him, TJ, you can't do this. You understand? Your daddy left me, and I can't fix anything. And my son looked up at me and said, Mommy, Daddy left me too. My children are very insightful. But my children are very healthy. But for the grace of God, I have another husband. The last thing I wanted to share was I was abused, just like many of us. And you know what? My mother's in another fellowship and has made amends. My father is not. About 2 years ago, I was on the phone with him. We don't talk about the abuse because he didn't happen, right? But I love my father, and I want a relationship with him. So I still keep a relationship with him. And he said to me, just out of the blue, like we were talking about something, I was probably the Giants or something, right? And he said, Tony, I know I hit you when you were a little girl. And I got real quiet, and I said, yeah, Daddy. And he said, but I didn't hit you as badly as my father hit me. And he said, and I hope that you are not hitting your kids the way that I hit you. Because I have a program today, it is possible for me to not hurt my children. And I'd like to thank you for letting me share.
Good afternoon, family. My name is Nate, and I'm definitely an addict. And it's a blessing to be in this room. When I first got here, I had children, but I wasn't a parent. Basically, we just shared the same residence. And since I've been here, my sponsor always told me to do the things to prepare you for the blessings that you claim to want. So when they get here, you'll have the maintenance in place to keep them. I prayed for those kids, and 9 months clean, their mother said, I can't do this, here they are. So I ended up being a single parent in recovery. But I want to thank y'all, because it wasn't for y'all, I wouldn't move in today. Today I'm not a single parent in recovery. I'm a married parent. I'm raising girls with my spouse. Ooh, and it's all good. My spouse right here, the last thing. I'm going to be real brief. My job as a father today, you know, I thank my father for being a father that he wasn't, because it gives me an opportunity to be the father that I am. See, no longer am I in the blame game for things that happened to me prior to me getting here. I'm responsible for my own recovery. I'm responsible for my children's well-being. I only lean on my spouse for the things that she can do, not for the things I wanted to do. If I want better children, I got to be a better parent. Before I can be a better parent, I got to be a better man. It ain't a whole lot true. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, I'm Marge. I'm a great recovering addict. Okay, and I really want to thank you, Steve. I really want to thank you, Jen. I didn't grow up with a whole lot of hugs, kisses. There was only one parent, right? Now, a thing for me is it's hard for me to stop using crack, first of all. I'm a single parent. I got four children. And I have to work on a daily basis to stay clean and sober because I like being here. Four children. When I come in the house, hey, mommy, they done been to every crack house in Alexandria, right? But the love ain't gone. I have a four-year-old little girl. Her daddy ain't here. He died. When I come home in the evening, come on, mom, let me give you your bath. And she gives me a bath. And all the dirt that I've done, my disease say, you don't deserve this. But God say, yes, you do. And because God say, yes, I do, I'm still here. Four children, single parent, ain't no daddy, but God is a daddy. Ain't no daddy, but I'll keep on keeping on, but God's ever be all right.
I'm an addict. My name's Lenore.
Hi, Lenore.
And I'm a parent in recovery.
Right.
I walked in the meeting today and saw it lined from wall to wall. And I remember, I guess, maybe about 6-7 years ago, we wanted to bring a parenting meeting to our area, and we were told it was an outside issue. This is not an outside issue. We have to take this stuff home. You know, I have to take this home. I have to take these principles outside of here. And thank you, Steve and Janice, for sharing. And it is hard. It is the hardest job I have today. I have three boys. And my boys are 6, 7, and 9. And it is busy in my house. And I am tired. You know, and when a six-year-old stands in front of you after a 12-hour shift and says, and I bought a big house a couple years ago, and their room is like downstairs and across the other end of the house. I said to my sponsor, you would think that was 10 miles away when he asks me to tuck him in at night after working. And you know, I have to put in that extra effort today because I can't be a good parent if I don't put in that effort. You know, the other thing I wanted to share about that I was really identifying with so many people that shared today was that I'm breaking the cycle. I'm breaking a cycle today. It took me many years in recovery to even say out loud that my father beat me. But it was not okay. That behavior was not okay, you know. And I heard something early on as a parent, and it stuck with me, and I hope it always stuck with me, is that when I hit my kids, the only thing I'm teaching them is that it's okay to hit the people you love. And that's not okay. You know? I love a definition of discipline. I was sharing it with my sponsor on the ride down here. And that's that discipline. It means to teach your child the difference between right and wrong. And what are we learning here? That we have choices today. There's a right choice and there's a wrong choice. If you want to go ahead and make the wrong choice, then you're going to have to pay a consequence. That's my job as a mom today. And I have Narcotics Anonymous to ground me because I can't, I can't change and grow without this program. And I can't raise those kids without this program because there'll be way too much unmanageability in my life without Narcotics Anonymous. Thank you all for being here.
Good afternoon. My name is Sherry, and I'm an addict. And I want to thank this gentleman, and I also want to thank Janice. Janice is my sponsor. I just want to say one thing, that the only reason I'm not a parent in recovery today is because my addiction caused me to have my child terminated. But I also have a niece and a nephew who went through my addiction with me, who was raised in the same household with me. But I just want to say that listening to this, you know, it really touched me, and it's never too late to be a parent, and I hopefully that if it ever happened, God's will, that I will be a better parent, that I will be a good parent, and I won't make that decision again. Thanks for letting me share.
I'm an addict. My name is Tamron. And I'm the best person that I could possibly be today, and that makes me a better parent. I appreciate what you said, Steve, that parenting is it's OJT. You know, you buy a car, you sit in your car, you adjust your mirror, you turn the key, and everything just stays where it's at. But you open your glove compartment, and there's an owner's manual that tell you what to do if something go wrong, what to do if it won't start. Children are like that. And sometimes, you know, I kind of lose my temper with my children. But I backed off from hitting them because, like the lady said, I know I can hurt them. So it's just through God's grace in rooms like this that keep me grounded. I appreciate y'all being here for me.
Thank you.
My family, I'm Cheryl Natick. I want to thank everyone that spoke